Blog Talk Radio.
The Triangle Offense.
Reach those boys, we're going in.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
You jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
At last, we meet for the first time, for the last time.
Are you not?
And welcome to the Triangle Offense. I am your host and moderator, Matthew Long, here with my esteemed co-host and panelists here on the Triangle Offense. From left to right is Ryan the Kane Harris. We got Ricky Check, a.k.a. Ricky Bobby. And over here to my right, we have Brandon Beto, a.k.a. YOLO. We're going to break this thing down like this. In case you haven't heard the show before, the way it works is I go over a series of topics and questions with our wonderful panelists here, and depending on how they answer, they will get points. The one at the end of the show that has the most points will be named the winner and will hold the belt for that week. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, welcome to the main event of your evening. All right, first topic on our agenda. The NFL pushed the NFL draft back 2 weeks to capitalize on having a major event in each particular month, obviously to push out more revenue. I'm going to start over here with Mr. Kane. What do you make of moving the draft back 2 weeks?
Honestly, I could care less. I mean, it makes them relevant for every month of the year, makes them more money. Other than that, why else do it?
So, just straight to the point, cut and dry.
That's it.
Put it in,
that's
pull it out,
you're
done.
For money.
What about you, Ricky?
I think it's absolutely dumb. Why change it from where you're at? What's wrong with the date that you have? Keep it as April. That's how everybody knows the NFL draft is in April. It's in late April. I mean, it was bad enough that they stretched out across 4 days. Nobody really cares about 4 days worth of draft. Give me the first hour or so. I mean, you really want to make a change? Why don't you cut down the time it takes them to make a draft pick? I mean, why do you need 15 minutes if you're the first overall pick? You've had 4 months to know who you're going to pick. You know, once the combine comes up, then just make your pick. Just, you know what you got to fill. You know who you're going to get. You got the combine. That's basically what your NFL draft is. You know you got your board. What do you got to sit there for 20 minutes looking at the board like, well, this is going to be our guy. I think I'm going to go with this guy. But wait, hang on. Okay, I'll go with this guy.
Oh, no, wait. We're going to go ahead and trade.
Or you could be like Minnesota and just forget to enter your pick.
Brandon?
I agree. I think it's a big, big waste of time. I think it's ridiculous, but football's king. They're pretty much going to do what they want when they want to do it because they make the most money and they're the biggest corporation. Outside of that, there's not much to say besides that. I think that I'll second what Ricky said. I think it's ridiculous that we spend 4 days talking about the draft and then we spend 2 months before that talking about the draft, like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. The job is to be wrong. Just completely wrong. That's their job. The job is just to be wrong every time. They've never been right. Never, ever, ever, ever in history have they been right about, like, anything. Ever. They just kind of sit there and predict what you think they're going to predict, and then they predict it again and 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 again. And it gets ridiculous.
So, Ryan, you're saying that it makes no sense whatsoever for them to capitalize on making more revenue?
No, I'm saying that's why they're doing it, is to be the only major sport relevant 12 months out of the year. It's the only reason why they're doing it.
And football's king, though, right?
Football is king.
Football will always be king. It makes the most money. All kids want to play football. It's king. Always will be.
Now, Ricky, does the draft moving back 2 weeks mean you're not going to watch it now?
No, I never really, you know, give me that first day. Like I say, give me round one, give me round two. I don't know seven rounds of college players from hundreds of different schools. I really have no idea who these guys are. half of them aren't even going to make the team anyway. And to top it all off, the only reason why we're talking about this is because it is the NFL. Does anybody care if we move the MLB Rule 7 draft to Thursday as opposed to Tuesday?
I'd like to see it televised.
I would second that. I would like to see the MLB draft televised, but once again, it's not king, and it's what's also a big difference. The drafts in MLB and almost every other sport, NFL is the only one that doesn't have a minor leagues when you think about it. NFL doesn't have a minors. You know, there's not a NFL AAA or NFL AA. That's why the draft is so publicized, because practically college is your minor leagues. So you go from being a minor league player in college to a professional. Any other sport, you have the D League in NBA, you have the Rookie League, you have in MLB, you have AAA, Single-A, Double-A, you know, and even in hockey, there's like the, I don't know what it's called, the American Hockey League maybe?
Yeah, juniors.
Juniors, and there's no minors for NFL, and I think that's what makes the draft so big, and that's why everybody follows it, because I won't lie, I sit down there probably all 4 days. If I'm not watching it all 4 days, I'm keeping up with it all 4 days. I'm seeing who my team drafted at what pick every time. No matter if it's the 150th pick or the first pick, I'm going to watch all picks.
So, Ryan, you pretty much just look at who that you're a Bucks fan and a Miami fan. So is that pretty much all you concentrate on the draft? Or
I like to see where the Miami Hurricane players go. I also like to see where the kids that who are here local in Tampa or from Florida, where they go. Because even though I hate Florida and Florida State, you know, I like to see those kids who play for the in-state colleges go on to and have a pro career. For the Bucks, yeah, I like mainly to see who they draft, because that's my team. That's my hometown team.
Yeah, that's who you're vested in.
Where Brandon says he wants to know whoever his team picks, give me my first 2-3 round players, and I'm done. I'm calling it a day. It means nothing to me after that.
Yeah, after that, you got to face it, unless you've watched a lot of college football, you're probably not going to know who it is in the fourth and fifth round, other than like getting somebody that should have been a first-round pick, but because they punched a cop in the face and ran into somebody in an accident, they went from a first-round pick to a seventh-round pick and got picked up by the Patriots then. So
most likely.
But I disagree. I think it's genius by putting it in every single month, because that's going to increase the revenue stream across the board. All right, now, after this first round, I'm going to say, looks like Ricky Bobby has a slight lead over YOLO. 44,000 points to 39,500. And Harris over here is about 3,000 points, give or take. So that's what we're looking at heading into this next round. Let's go ahead and move on to our third topic, NBA playoffs. We had this
let it rain
last week. Ricky picked the Spurs to come out of the West.
Who did you pick?
I picked the Grizzlies.
And you, Brad?
I also picked the Grizzlies.
Oh, okay.
We picked the Grizzlies. And
okay. Ryan was not here for that podcast. It was us three. But anyways.
There's no proof of it.
Yeah.
Hashtag YOLO.
Mm-hmm. But anyways.
So we're on NBA playoffs. Spurs sweep the Grizzlies. Obviously, me and Brad are wrong there.
Bad. We were bad, too. The Spurs,
that was a sweep.
The Spurs just dominated.
All except for one game.
No, they dominated every game. I don't want to hear that. They dominated. Tim Duncan, single-handedly, the big fundamental in the paint, outscored Marc Gasol and Zebo that whole series. He just dominated the paint.
What were those highlights for that game?
Oh, highlights? It was, right-handed hook, off the glass. Jump shot, off the glass. Off the glass. All he does.
Tony Parker.
Taking the dish from Tony Parker.
Yep, Tony Parker has 18 assists in one game, turns around in the game, the sweep, the fourth game, and gets 37 points.
After leaving the game when he was hurt to come back later. So, Harris, you didn't have a pick last week. Who would you have picked?
I'd have picked the Spurs.
You would have picked the Spurs?
For only one
That's
reason.
A safe argument.
For only one reason. I was stationed in San Antonio and became a Spurs fan when David Robinson still played there.
Oh, the Admiral.
The Admiral. Respect.
So I went to a bunch of Spurs games, became a fan of the Spurs.
So what about who do you have coming out
I would have
East?
Not said that they would have swept, though.
Now, I'm assuming you're taking Miami out of the East.
How can you not go with Miami out of the East?
Indiana.
No, I have the Pacers.
I have the Pacers. Also. We all had the Pacers.
We all had the Pacers. That's the only thing we agreed on.
Yes.
I would have not gone with the, with the
I mean, the series is still up for it. It's only 2-1. But back to San Antonio real quick. What about Greg Popovich? I think he seriously goes underrated every single year. He manages that team with ease. You know, there was the big debacle early in the year about sending his practically his second team all the way down to Miami so the guys could get a rest. And, he got a lot of stink for it, and David Stern didn't appreciate it. But there's something to be said about the way he manages that team.
What do you think on that, Ricky?
About Greg Popovich and San Antonio?
Yeah.
I agree. I think the team in itself is always underrated every single year. I think, you know, every single year you hear that they're too old. They're not too old because everybody on that team knows what it takes to get it done. Nobody in there needs the ball. Quote Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball. Nobody on there needs it. Tony Parker can get it done. Ginobili can get it done. You got Tim Duncan. You got Kawhi Leonard now. You got all these role players that know every single person on that roster knows what their role is. They get it done. Tim Duncan has no problem sitting the bench in the fourth quarter if that is what is good for the team.
They've always had their core players, Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan. Each year they bring in, like Ricky said, the role players. Each year they're different. You know, there may be 2 years of overlap. That's about it. But with Popovich sitting those guys late in the season to get them rest for the playoffs, genius. The fans may not like it, but guess what? They're there to win the championship. And, yes, they are older, so they do need rest. One night in between games is not sufficient for those older guys.
Well, let me do this. We've referred to the game a couple times against Miami where he sits his stars in the game. Harris, tell me a little bit more about that. Do you think it's BS or what?
No, I like it. It's what needs to be done. Those guys are much older, and they already had their playoff spot secured, you know? So what do they care?
Harris. I agree with that. I don't think if you're trying to win a championship, that's what you do. It reminds me of Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy used to catch a lot of flack as well for sitting his starters at the end of the year trying to go, instead of going for a perfect season, you know, he's going for a championship. That's what you do. You don't play this game you don't play any professional sport to be the best regular season team there is. No, you don't get a trophy for that. You get a trophy for one thing, and that's winning the championship. So he manages to win a championship.
So you try to say you play to win the game.
You play to win the game. Well, you play to win the game.
Like these other two, I agree with it. I think David Stern stuck his nose where it didn't belong. I think Popovich should be allowed to manage his own team the way he wants to manage it, no matter if that means sending his players home, sitting them, whatever it takes. I think it's his team. I mean, the organization didn't do anything about it. Why would David Stern have to come in here and butt his nose in there and say, you can't do that?
He has to, though. As a commissioner, he has to. He has to protect the sport.
Well, because the fans spoke up. They were going to these games, and they're not seeing their favorite players from opposing teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I
that's
agree.
The only reason David Stern jumped in was because the fans complained.
Yeah. And as a fan, I think it was completely ridiculous. I pay premium dollars to see a premium game. Maybe it's the only game I get to go. You know, I remember when I was younger, we watched some preview games. It was the Harlem Globetrotters against the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited to see Michael Jordan out on the court, which he didn't play.
No.
He sat on the sideline the whole time. Pippen played for about a quarter. He came by, gave everybody high fives. Jordan, he wasn't even seen.
Yeah, because Jordan is going after championships. That's
not
that's
to go
Jordan.
Blow out
but
an even
still,
Globetrotters.
Yep.
But still, you have a fan base, and you keep your fans by appeasing the fans.
Well, I agree.
But at the end of the day, if you don't have fans showing up to the games,
you don't have anything.
Then you're the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, would it have made a difference had San Antonio won the game? Because later on down that season, Miami sat down LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Mario Chalmers and claimed, quote, injuries, which there was no sign of.
They fire back at them.
Well, how come David Stern didn't do anything about that? Because Miami won that game.
Well, that
if San Antonio had beat Miami when they sent all their players out, would it have been a different story?
No, I think the big difference between that was Popovich sat his starters maybe a month and a half into the season. This was the first half of the season. Miami sat their starters after they had clinched the East, after they had clinched their division, after they were going to be first, barring their whole team dying.
Look,
which is a big difference.
People make mistakes. The Spurs players, they just left their Centrum Silver at home and had to go back and get it.
Hey, they're chasing championships. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either.
All right. That was a pretty close round there. So I'm going to tally up the vote, and I will get back to you with who's in the lead after this break, and we're going to get into a new topic.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor, the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
And you're listening to the Triangle Offense on WCSB Sports. I like it.
I like it.
All right, so...
Hey, can I ask who's winning?
Oh, Rod Stewart's winning.
Rod, there you go. All right, go all right. Shoot for it.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony Dungy's up. Don't worry. According to the judges... That was an even round for both Brandon and for Ryan Harris. Ricky Bobby edges them both out by 1 point. Really close round. So that means Ricky Bobby is slightly ahead of both Brandon and even slightly more ahead of Ryan Harris. Not looking too good, Ryan. We'll have to see what this round brings. So our next topic is Everett Golson is no longer enrolled in school. The quote here that he gave 247sports.com is, "I have been informed by the University of Notre Dame that due to my poor academic judgment, that I have been suspended from the university for the 2013 fall term."
Go to Auburn.
I tip my cap to Notre Dame completely, 100%.
I agree.
There are probably 300 universities that wouldn't even think about doing that. Notre Dame gets a lot of crap for not being relevant for the last decade until last year, for not being relevant for a long time. But that is one university that you could honestly say keeps a clean nose for the most part. You know, there's a lot of schools that are going to hide that. There's a lot of universities that are going to be like, all right, we're going to put you in a PE class so you can play football this semester. Notre Dame kicked out their star quarterback because he didn't fulfill the college athlete part of it.
Well, he got suspended. It could have been from a number of things. It could have been he didn't take at least 16 credit hours past 16 credit hours that he didn't have a GPA of 2.3. It could have been cheating on a test. It could have been...
All reasons to kick somebody out, though. Those are all legitimate reasons to me. I think nowadays people are so focused on bringing the championship to the school that they're forgetting what college is about. College is about an education.
And
well, I mean, again, I agree. You know, Notre Dame did the right thing. It could have been for a number of reasons. But to kick out the quarterback of all players on your football team who took you to a national championship
game. Did kick
game.
Him out. They he got an academic suspension.
Well, they kicked him out for football year.
They told him you can't play.
Well, and I don't even necessarily know that he can't play this season because you have to be enrolled the semester before the football season starts. So if you've already started spring ball, technically, if he was enrolled in January, he is enrolled the semester four football starts. So he obviously can't play until after December if he plays. I'm still waiting on some word back from the NCAA to find out how that breaks
down. How that works. Either way.
Now, Harris, you're a Miami fan. I know you cannot agree with this. You cannot agree with their point of view.
I do agree with it because I think the private schools...
I don't believe you.
I do. I think the private schools take a beating when it comes to academics, and they take their academics fairly seriously when you compare them to the public schools. Such
Miami's
as,
a private school.
That's right, and they have kicked kids off for academic reasons. If you don't, you know what your responsibility is going in.
Hold on, I need to look that up. Are you sure they've kicked somebody off for academics?
Absolutely.
Who?
Exactly. Who not?
They're caught.
If they mess up, they get kicked off.
This has nothing to do with prostitutes or drugs.
This is the first time that I've honestly heard of a star player getting kicked off for academics.
Yes.
This is the first time
a
I've ever seen
player,
that.
A star player, yes. A role player, it happens all the time.
I'm a Gator fan. There is no way Tim Tebow could have had a 1.4 GPA. There's no way possible Tim Tebow is getting kicked out of the school.
The Lord wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, I agree. There's just no way. There's no. That's why I tip my cap to Notre Dame. I tip my cap to Notre Dame because they did the right thing, and they hold their students to a higher standard than a lot of other universities.
And to name one, I don't know if you remember, his name is Willie Williams. He was a five-star linebacker coming out of South Florida when he signed with Miami. He had a lot of off-the-field problems with robberies and such, and they took a chance on this kid. When he got to school, he did not get in trouble with the law. He got in trouble academically, and they kicked him off. Five-star guy. Private schools take the education seriously.
I like Harris bringing up that statistic. I like that.
That was good. That was good.
What about, but on the...
Out of his butt. That's what I called it.
On the Notre Dame...
I love it.
Out of the Notre Dame football side, that hurts your team, man. That's your starting quarterback. That's your leader. That's your leader.
Well, let me pose this question. Do they have to refocus and restructure the entire offense now?
Yes.
That,
of course.
Yes. You build your offense around
Reese
that.
Reese is still there. He started a third of the games last year.
Absolutely. I mean,
when Reese was in there, their offense was different. They ran different plays.
But they still won games with him, man.
They did.
No matter who your quarterback is, when you change from one quarterback to another, you have a whole new game plan. Well,
the game plan changes, but do you have to change the entire offense?
You're going to have to because you can't. You know, Golston was a scrambler. He can run out of the pocket, run them sweeps, he can run the options. You know, he's a lot more athletic than the other guy.
I'm happy.
I don't think you change your playbook. I mean, coaches run a certain style of offense. You know, like the Bucks, they run a shotgun. They run a lot of shotgun. They run a lot of wide receivers because we have a lot of wide receivers. Shiano comes in. He wants to run the ball. So you get in the eye form and you run the ball right at the middle and see who can stop you. So to an extent, you don't change your whole playbook. But game planning, yeah, you're not going to run maybe as many veers. You're not going to run as many options. You might go to a little more of a traditional drop back throwing or eye formation.
Or maybe you run more.
Or maybe you run more with the running back and not so much with the quarterback.
Right.
I think it
Reese
came down.
Reese is a different quarterback. He has a different style of play. And they won games with Reese in there, and they won games with Golson in there. But the play calling was different.
It has to be. Obviously, like you said, a certain skill set, certain quarterback, you're going to have to switch up certain plays you run. All right, next topic. Maurice Jones-Drew is being charged with assault. TMZ reported that he knocked out a security guard.
TKO, son, one hit.
I mean, is this something that's...
It's something that happens everywhere, just doesn't get reported all the time, I think. You have the king of the town in Jacksonville. Everybody loves Maurice Jones-Drew.
He's a good guy.
Allegedly he's a good guy, but I guess if he's in a strip club or wherever he was, you know, causing trouble and a security guy tells him, hey, stop, you just get a right hook to the face instead of actually stopping.
Hey, everybody in the club get tipsy.
Yeah.
What did he knock him out for? What was the reasoning?
I don't remember the reasoning behind it.
He said, go Colts.
Yeah. But, you know, there's...
We were told him to stand up.
This generation's athlete. You see,
sorry, sir, you can't punch the scrippers in the stomach.
You see a lot of athletes doing stupid stuff nowadays. It's almost become like it's common. You know, it is what it is. You see drunk driving every day. You see, you know, them getting curfews or arrested because they're just too stupid to go home at a decent hour of time or not cause trouble if they stay out. Hell, I'm sure if us four went out, we could go practically anywhere we wanted all night and not punch a security guard. It comes down to common sense. And, you know, when you think you're above the law, you get into trouble.
Well, let me correct you. TMZ just updated the report. Apparently, they haven't charged him yet.
It's always a legend.
That's because it's Maurice Jones-Drew.
He'll get away with it. Of course, he'll pay the security guard, hey, here's 50 grand and an autograph, and never hear from him again.
Season ticket, here you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd take season tickets to the
Jaguars. No, yeah, you could. Well, you could sell them. It may not even
peanuts.
Sell them.
Peanuts. Maybe some Cracker Jack for the ticket.
I mean, that's it. Either way, it's a big deal, but unfortunately in today's society, it's not a big deal.
I think the Jaguars are the only team that actually sells their tickets like the Peanuts and Cracker Jacks at the game.
I would probably second that.
They're the only.
Well, the Rays used to do it, too.
Yeah.
Buy two packs of baseball cards in the gift shop, you get a pair of tickets.
With Maurice Jones-Drew, in all seriousness, he was at Six Flags and he wasn't tall enough to ride this ride. No. it's a big deal today. It's not going to be tomorrow. So, I mean, mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in today's society, it doesn't matter.
It'll pass, just like all the other athletes that got in trouble. It's going to pass. It's going to move on. He'll do whatever he's got to do. They'll, you know, behind closed doors, do what they have to do, and it'll be problem solved.
And you'll never hear about it. Here's a check. Here's a Rolex. Have a nice night.
As far as I can remember, this is the first thing that Jones-Drew has been in the news for a bad thing.
Actually, his attitude's gotten worse over the last couple years.
He plays for Jacksonville and he's losing.
I mean, not only that, but you know, he had the holdout, and then he almost wanted to be traded, didn't want to be traded, held out, wanted more money, didn't want more money. That was a debacle.
But that's not like getting in trouble with the law. Those are two separate. Yeah, I mean, of course, he's going to want the money. He's the only guy in Jacksonville doing anything. And all athletes, I don't care who you ask, they want to win. You know, regardless, they want to get paid, of course, but it gets tiring.
First you get your money, then you get your championship.
It gets tiring playing on a team that can barely get to 3 or 4 wins.
All right, let me pose this question real quick. We get on Pete Rose because of his gambling, and he didn't gamble on his team. But he gambled on baseball. All right, Ryan. Maurice Jones-Drew heads up one of the, as far as professional athletes, one of the top sites for fantasy football, which obviously is considered gambling. Pretty much everything that Vegas does is considered gambling. So why is it that we can sit back with Maurice Jones-Drew and say, yes, it's cool. You can gamble in fantasy football where money, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars is exchanged every single year in fantasy football, but Pete Rose bets for his team or on other teams.
You can't bet while you're in the sport.
But you said it.
But it's betting.
But you said it.
You can't bet while you're in the sport.
You said it. It's fantasy.
So is betting.
Yeah, you're not betting
on... But the game is fantasy. It's not a real game.
But if he has himself on his fantasy team, does he not control the
fantasy? Does he have his own team? And is he on it?
He does fantasy sports.
Okay, fantasy sports. Is he on his own fantasy football team?
Does it matter if he's on his own team?
He's going to want to do good because he gets paid if he does good.
What if he's playing against the 49ers and that's his defense, and he just sucks it up that game to win money?
Defense doesn't win you a fantasy football game.
It could. If you fumble the ball 3 times.
Your running backs and your quarterbacks, your receivers win you fantasy games.
I think it comes down... Those are two different monsters that you're talking about right now. You saw the replacement refs getting a lot of trouble for...
gambling.
Fantasy football. Well, no, they had fantasy football leagues. And, you know, one of the referees or umpires were like, hey, get up and do better because you're on my fantasy team. Those are two different monsters. Pete Rose broke a just unwritten code that everybody knows. And not only did he break the code, he denied it for, 20 years before he finally came out and said, okay, yeah, I did it. And then he expects all to be forgiven. I love Pete Rose. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But if he would have handled that situation 100 times better, he would already be in the Hall of Fame. His mistake wasn't gambling. His mistake was denying it for 20 years.
That's why. He lied about it.
Yeah.
If he didn't lie about it, he'd have been fine.
Yep. Hell, you think Andy Pettit's not going to get in the Hall of Fame?
Check.
I just think it's a whole new different age and time.
It's the new gambling.
But I think if Pete Rose had done what he did now, I don't think it... I still think he would have been disciplined. Do I think it would have been as bad as it was back when he did it? No. But I'm with him.
Let's say Pete Rose is playing now. He has a fantasy baseball league, and he's on his own team.
No.
So if he's on somebody else's team?
No, I'm saying that doesn't matter.
Fantasy baseball.
We don't care. Our generation doesn't care. You can bet on yourself all you want. You can bet on the other team all you want. I don't care what you personally do. As long as you don't intentionally throw a game, then I don't care.
But how do you show that he didn't intentionally throw any games?
Well, that's the risk you take when you bet on yourself. And that's also, 30, 40 years ago. That was a whole different era of baseball.
Plus, he never bet on them to lose. He always bet on them to win.
And you never...
That's called confidence, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he'll back that up to the day. But what I'm saying is you just can't... That's just a rule. He knew the rule, and he broke the rule, and then he lied about the rule. And that's what got him where he's at.
All right. Well, we're going to do a quick sports update here. Pay for some bills. I'm going to tally up the score, and we'll be right back with you with the last round, and we'll find out who is eliminated from the Triangle Offense here on WCSB Sports. I'm Nigel O'Leary with your Kiesel.net WCSB Sports Update. The Miami Heat win in Game 5 over the Indiana Pacers 90-79. LeBron James scores 30 points to lead all scores and was close to a triple-double. Game 6 is scheduled for Saturday in Indiana around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Newly retired cornerback Rondé Barber has joined the NFL on Fox team as a football analyst. This after a 13-year career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lastly, it looks like we're going to see that Floyd Mayweather Jr. Sal Alvarez fight, but most likely not till September of next year. This fight may help Floyd Mayweather Jr. duck the reputation that he's built of ducking prize fighters. And I am Nigel O'Leary with your Giesel.net WCSB Sports Update. All right, we're going to move on to the final round here. Sorry to Ryan Harris for not making it onto this point. Better luck next week. But here we have Brandon Beto, a.k.a. YOLO, and Ricky Check, a.k.a. Ricky Bobby. Our final topic will be in the sport of baseball, and will be, is Fernando Rodney
a joke?
He has been all over the place this year with his pitches, something that he has had tremendous problem with in the past with the Angels and the 9 other franchises he's been with. Now, his woes, are they because of the World Baseball Classic? Is he just tired? What's causing him to not be the anchor, closer, shutout guy that he was last year?
Honestly, I think this is who Fernando Rodney is. I think last year we struck lightning in a bottle. This is who Fernando Rodney has been his entire career. He has the velocity. He has no location. Last year, he was great. We caught him for a year. We did the same thing with Rafael Soriano and Benoit in the same year. We had a shutdown 8-9 inning every single game, every time we threw them guys out there. Before that, Soriano was a mediocre pitcher at best. Fernando Rodney, same thing. He was mediocre at best. Last year, we caught lightning in a bottle. This is who Rodney is. This is what we're going to have to deal with and accept as the season progresses. This is who he is. Next year, we'll find somebody else.
Well, for the most part, Belfour, can't forget Grant Belfour, because
Balfour.
Grant Balfour.
Grant Balfour.
Because that's all he did was throw four balls.
His last year with us, he pitched well towards the end of the season.
Yes.
That's why
J.P. Howell.
The Rays were able to unload him to the Athletics, where he has had a fairly exceptional.
Look at sorry to interrupt you.
Soriano has been able to maintain what he did with the Rays, with the Yankees, and got a max contract with the Nationals.
Look what
Balfour was able to maintain all up until the end of last season.
Well, he also got hurt. He had the shoulder surgery,
Again, the shoulder surgery.
What about the guy that plays for the Tigers? Our eighth inning guy, Hulkin. No,
Benoit.
Benoit was a beast here. He had like a 1-2 ERA when he pitched here. Eighth inning guy set up for Rafael Soriano. He's gone over to Detroit and just continued to pitch well and been dominant.
I like him better than Valverde.
Yes, I agree.
I do too.
But it takes a special kind of person to close out a game, as we're seeing right now. And
when you have that weird delivery and those glasses to match, you got
to
put it in there.
To second what Ricky says about Fernando Rodney, though, this is who he is. He's someone who has electric stuff. And you can't say he's tired. I hate when people say, oh, he's tired from the World Baseball Classic. The dude's throwing the ball 99 mile an hour.
Ben Zobrist was in the World Baseball Classic.
And
he doesn't look tired.
The guy threw 99 mile an hour 3 or 4 times every time he comes out. He's not tired. He's Fernando Rodney. He has trouble locating the fastball. He has trouble locating any pitch that he throws. That's just who he is. Last year, I think what happened was he went out the first 5-10 times and dominated. Just straight dominated people. Threw the fastball right by him, threw the changeup underneath him, and was perfect.
Got some confidence.
And just grew from it. He said, I'm going to come up here and I'm just going to beat you. And I think this year, one of the first appearances he made outside of a save was the game against the Indians. And the game was over. It was like 10-3. We were getting stomped. And Joe Maddon decides to put him out there. And I'm not a big fan of throwing your closer into a situation where it's not even close, because I don't think they focus. I think they're just out there working on stuff. And he got rocked. He gave up like 4 runs. And I think ever since that game, The confidence isn't there with Fernando Rodney. You can see it when he steps on the mound. He's not confident in what he's doing.
I think you both hit the nail on the head there. I don't think it is because it's who he is. I refer to Brian Anderson said it best.
BA.
Yeah, BA said it best. He's lost that body language he had last year that he went in. I'm
going to beat you.
Yep.
And he went balls to the walls and did it.
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing 97 plus every pitch and then threw in a 20 mile an hour different changeup.
Mm-hmm.
And made people look ridiculous. This year, the fastball is differing between 92 to 97, 95.
Yeah.
The confidence isn't there. The body language isn't there.
And that's another thing you see.
And the mechanics. He's messing around with the toe tap this year.
I actually saw that.
Called a balk on him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a balk.
I don't think it was a balk.
It wasn't a balk because I watched the very next pitch and he did the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Up to that point, I didn't even pay attention to the toe tap. I didn't even realize
it. It came out of nowhere.
I didn't realize it. And then when that happened, I think it might have even thrown the umpire off a little bit.
Because
I don't think he was paying attention. All of a sudden, that just one time it caught him and he called the balk on it. Not realizing that's what he's been doing the entire time.
But he varies. This is why it's confusing. Sometimes
he varies.
It's three, sometimes
yes.
It's two, sometimes it's none.
It looks weird. Sometimes I've even seen him take a step back to where he kind of almost goes from like a stretch windup where he kind of just takes a step back and then comes forward with his left foot and taps it three or four times and then goes to the mound. You can't be a pitcher with inconsistent mechanics. It's not going to work.
So I boil it down to the...
Confidence is why I boil it down.
Rodney is who he is
yes.
last year, but he lost his confidence. Now,
well,
here's a little backstory on Fernando Rodney. He's played the last 4 years in the winter leagues.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the Caribbean World Series. This isn't the World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
And by the way, Jeff Kepinger, Reed Brainiac, his blowout year, what was it, 2008, 2009?
Mm-hmm.
He played in Mexico over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of players.
To stay warm.
Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yep.
He played. Miguel Cabrera. He's
yeah.
not last.
It's just to keep rhythm and not. I don't want to say not throw your arm out, but it's just to stay in the baseball environment where when you come back after off season, you don't have to start from ground zero on building your arm. You know, it's kind of just to maintain. A nice, you don't have to go out there and bust your ass every single day, but it's to maintain a nice balance in your baseball.
They're
schedule.
Not playing the same level of ball down there.
Yes.
The guys that are there, Daniel Maiora, probably have heard of him before. He was in the Rays program
yep.
for a long time. He's now, this year he went over with the AAA version of the Giants.
Yes.
But you see more guys like that are working to come up. Corona, the guy from the Yankees,
yep.
he spent a lot of time. He's from Venezuela. So you see it's more of like a developmental league over the
yeah.
winter. You see Bobby Abreu, I've seen him this year. I got to meet him this year. Playing in these leagues to, again, like you said, stay sharp.
Mm-hmm.
He's not...
It's not, yeah, it's not to win anything. It's literally to keep the rust off and to make... if you want to work on, let's say, a pitcher's out there, you want to work on, throwing, you're trying a new pitch, whether it's a curveball, a changeup, a slider, whatever it is you're trying to learn, you go out there and throw it in a winter ball league to where maybe if it's not 100% sharp or you're just learning it, yeah, you're going to get rocked, but you're not costing your team a win. You're going out there, like you said, it's almost like a developmental league where you can go out there and practice things that you may want to work on.
Absolutely. And then people talk about, then there's the Caribbean World Series. Well... The Caribbean World Series is the winner of each of the winter leagues from Mexico, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic,
yes.
Panama. They play in
yep.
a World Series, essentially. It's their
yes.
playoff. And then once every 4 years, you have the World Baseball Classic. Let me explain.
Is it four or two?
Every four.
It's four.
It's just
four,
like the Olympics.
Okay.
It's the Baseball Olympics.
Okay.
Other than the Olympics, that is every 4 years.
I know what you're saying now.
And you're listening to the Triangle Offense on WCSB Sports. Hey, all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. Now, if you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills. So go get the ball today at a Raging Bull. Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Geezel.net, GEALZ.net. If your talent, like Fernando Rodney, if you're Friedman, if you're Andrew Friedman, are you telling Fernando Rodney?
I'm not telling him what to do.
You're not telling him? You're not saying, hey, I don't want you playing in these winter leagues?
There's this thing called a grown man rule. A grown man's going to do what a grown man wants to do. Can't stop him.
But if you have millions of dollars on the line.
Got to be in the contract then.
Yep. If you're going to stop him, you better put it in the contract. And if he won't sign it because it's in the contract, then you're SOL.
They do have contracts in the NFL where you have guys like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger cannot ride a motorcycle.
Oh, of course.
For instance.
When you wreck three of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer at that point.
Well, still, but I'm just giving...
Like, Plaxico Burress can't carry a gun in his shorts in the club anymore because he shot himself.
But I'm giving an example. If it's not in your contract, then...
You can't... A grown man's going to do what a grown man wants to
absolutely.
Do. That's just the way it is. I'm not a fan of telling anybody how to do it. Joel Prata, every single year, throws in the winter league. Every year. He just throws. He wants the ball every night, and he likes to throw. What is he doing this year? He's dominating. He's been the best... By far in the bullpen.
I think it's awesome. His sleeves are so much shorter than everybody
else's.
Yeah,
it makes his arms look gigantic. I don't know what that's about.
It's intimidating.
It really is.
So if you're Joe Maddon, how is there a way to fix this problem then?
Stroke his ego. Stroke his ego so hard.
How else do you stroke his ego by hanging 100 plantains all over?
I agree with that. I didn't understand. I mean, that's Joe Maddon. That's the clubhouse he's going to
do. I didn't understand the penguin or the llama.
I didn't understand anything that he does, but it works. Every time that we've done that, I'm pretty sure we won the game. So I'm not gonna critique what Joe does and play, you know, the Monday morning quarterback where, you know, of course we're going to be 100% right when we're looking back on things. But I think the huge problem is the guy doesn't have confidence. But just because he doesn't have confidence, you can't yank him out of his role. You know, Joe's not going to say, oh, you're not the closer anymore. It's costing us games, but who are you going to put in there? You're going to put Joel Peraza in there? All right, well, now who are you going to get to cover the eight?
Let's pose that question.
Hypothetically speaking, we'll all agree that Joel Peraza has been the best bullpen, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's going to go...
Followed by McGee.
He's going to go nine. All right, and then you have McGee eight. Now, who do you trust is going to get you through the seventh inning?
I don't put McGee in the eighth. I'll put Rodney in the eighth.
Okay, so then
you're not taking everything away from him because the eighth inning is still essentially like a close roll. It's a setup man.
Yeah.
You're setting up the ninth. You still have that pressure on you to not allow anything. Your role is still important. So I say you flip flop Peralta and Rodney. Sit Rodney down and let him know. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Joe Maddon moved Jennings down to the seventh hole.
Yes.
A couple days before that, he moved Joyce in the leadoff spot. It's to help their confidence. It's to get them a different look, get them a different feeling. I think that's what Rodney needs. I think Rodney needs that different feeling, that different look. Not always go out there, okay, everything's on me. Maybe take a little bit of that pressure off without disrespecting him. Move him to the eighth inning. Say, you know, we still need you. You're still an essential part of this bullpen. I said, we want you to kind of figure your way out. So we're going to move you into the eighth inning. You know, you're going in a rough spot. There's no denying he's in a rough spot. He's not going to go against that. So you can move him to the eighth inning and see where it goes from there.
Don't you think McGee has better closer stuff?
I think McGee's not consistent enough.
The problem with McGee...
I would rather keep Rodney in the ninth as opposed to having McGee or anybody else other than Peralta in the ninth inning.
I agree. McGee last year, dominant. This year...
Our whole bullpen dominant.
Yeah. This year,
McGee's starting out exactly like he did last year.
Yeah, if he's had good outings. You know, he's been locating the fastball down and away a lot of times, elevating it when he wants to. He's been good. I still don't trust him in the ninth inning. Like I said, I don't trust anybody in the ninth inning outside of Peralta. I don't have a problem with keeping Rodney in the ninth inning because taking him out, I think, would do more damage than good. I think next save opportunity, you throw him out there and you let him try to string two or three innings. But again, the leash can only go so far. He gets up to 7, 8, 9 blown saves, especially even before the All-Star break. I mean, we're halfway to the All-Star break and he's already got 5. Then it becomes a huge problem. Then you're going to have to change something.
With all that being said, you know, we mentioned maybe putting Peralta in the ninth or Rodney in the eighth and trying to do one of those. I actually believe Odorizzi was more of a bullpen pitcher than he is a starter. I think he's in there right now just trying to fill in because Archer had that – he got hit on the leg. I think he's just there to fill in. But Odorizzi seems more of like a bullpen pitcher, more of a 3-out, 4-out, 5-out guy. Maybe your replacement for Wade Davis. because Odorizzi, 3 or 4 innings, he's very strong. He's not, he can't draw you out to 6, 7, 8 innings. He's just there as a Band-Aid. I think Odorizzi would be a good fit in the bullpen and then move Archer possibly up, you know, later on down the season.
Now what's your take on Lukey? Because we haven't mentioned him at all,
yeah.
And his last outing was pretty strong.
I was just going to ask another question, too. Who do you want as your let's assume David Price comes back healthy, and, you know, he doesn't have to be a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but he needs to be solid. Are you going to keep Lukey in the rotation, or are you going to keep Hernandez in, or not Lukey, I'm sorry, Odorizzi in the rotation, or are you going to keep Hernandez in the rotation? Because the last two outings for Hernandez have been horrible.
Because he's either up or
which
down.
My suggestion was Odorizzi stay in the starting rotation, Hernandez go to the bullpen. But even Odorizzi, his first start after the first two innings were solid. His second start versus the Marlins, which are just a putrid offense, not so solid. So I think there's a decision that needs to be made there as well. But as far as Josh Lukey, I think he's a Triple-A pitcher that's up in the MLB that is handling himself well, but I don't think he's MLB caliber yet. I don't think
he's not polished.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good term. He's not polished yet. He's there. He's got the stuff. I mean, he's got a nasty breaking ball. He throws 95, 96, a good changeup, but he's not polished. He hasn't been...
He's rough around the edges.
Yeah, he's still kind of raw.
Mm-hmm. How about Ramos?
Ramos, he's been struggling a little bit. He's hurting with confidence right now.
He's more of a middle reliever,
yeah.
Though.
No, absolutely. No, he should stay where in the role he's at.
Or
he's
your left-handed specialist.
He's kind of
like your replacement for J.P. Howe. You went from Cesar Ramos to J.P. Howe, the kind of the lefty specialist or long-inning guy that can get lefties and righties out. I mean, there's been times, you know, he came in, I think it was the Baltimore game, threw 2 innings, shutout
ball.
Lights
out.
Lights out was nasty. And then there's other times he comes in, he struggles to get the ball across the plate. But that seems like the problem with all of our bullpen this year. They're walking too many people and it's getting them hurt. You know, the last save that Fernando blew was 2 outs. All right, game's over, right? Nope. He walked somebody. Next thing you know, he gets a little check swing double, you know, Luke Scott looking like thing. And then Brett Gardner swings on the middle. But everybody forgets about the walk. The walk is key. You have to stop walking people.
Kill you every time.
Yes.
Always come back to haunt. You put men on base, things are going to happen. Because your whole approach at the plate, your approach at the plate is changing if you have a guy on first or second as opposed to nobody out. If there's bases are empty, you're looking to try and get on base no matter what.
And Ricky Bobby gets in a last minute haymaker. I think that may have done it. I'm going to confer with the judges, and the judges say, by a score of 5,534,365.5, Ricky Bobby is your champion of the Triangle Offense. And that's all for us this week, folks. You will catch us here next week here on WCSB Sports. And we want to thank all of our lovely listeners. We're out till next week.
The Triangle Offense.